Well, please have your Bibles open at Psalm 120. Have you ever found yourself in a place where you just feel that you do not belong? And I'm not talking about being a person from Sussex here in Lancashire. A place where you find yourself feeling very different, very conspicuous, and unwelcome. And what makes it so difficult is it's not just the place that you're in, it's the people who are already there. So when you walk into the room, the conversation ceases, or everyone turns and looks at you. And these people, they're trying to make life difficult for you. They're spreading gossip about you. They're saying things behind your back. And whenever you try and talk about anything, they always seem to take the opposite viewpoint on anything that you're talking about. You always feel that you're in conflict with them. Now, it's a pretty horrible place to be, isn't it? And maybe some of us have experienced this in younger days when we were at school or college, in the workplace, maybe on holiday in a different country, maybe even in our own homes with our nearest and dearest. How do you feel when you have a few hours to escape from that sort of situation? I think there's relief, there's refreshment, there's joy, there's a spring in your step as you walk away from your problems. And that's the sort of sentiment that's lying here behind Psalm 120, the first of the songs of ascent. And these were psalms that were traditionally sung by Jewish pilgrims as they left wherever it was they were living and they went down the road to Jerusalem. And they'd go to Jerusalem for festivals or for worship, for a pilgrimage. And here we see a believer who is surrounded by people who are out to get them, escaping for a moment, maybe escaping for a few weeks, so that he can go to a place of worship, a place where he is surrounded by like-minded people who both know and love God. And today it is a song for all those Christians who feel under attack, besieged, burdened and weary as they leave behind their home environment and they gather together with other Christians for worship. So it's a song that many of us can sing, because like the psalmist, our hearts should be with the company of the righteous, worshipping God together. And as we all know, our real true home is where we keep our hearts. Now, no one knows exactly what circumstances the psalmist was going through when he wrote this psalm. Traditionally, it had been ascribed to David, like so many other psalms, but there's no real certainty that this is the case. And if David did write it, we don't know what situation in his life he was writing about, because he did have quite a colourful life, did David. He had ups, he had downs, all sorts of things happened to him. He had a very eventful life. So we can't be certain who wrote it, and we can't be certain what situation it was about. But while we don't know the author or the circumstances, we can understand and maybe even empathize with the situation that he is facing. Because here we see a man who is in distress. Distress because people are lying about him. They are slandering him. They are dragging his name through the mud. And even if people don't believe everything that is said, we all know that saying, don't we? There's no smoke without fire. When people are saying things, they may expect people to think, oh yes, I've been embellished, but they think there's some sort of truth there in the center of it. People love to gossip. They love to slander. And every time the tale is told, it gains an extra leg. Have any of you ever been in this situation where people are lying about you? Where you've had someone out to get you, determined to crush you, humiliate you, and make your life miserable? Someone who would say anything that they could in order to hurt you. Or they would say anything that was needed in order to make sure that they got their way and you didn't get yours. I know that for some of us here, you know, we may think back to the time when this church was first founded. And it may be something that you have experienced. All sorts of rumours swirled around this town. And Great Harwood can be a very small place sometimes. Rumors swirled around about what was going on when you started up. And when the church that you left closed down, you were blamed. The good news is, in a local minister's fraternal, it has been admitted that you were scapegoated by the other ministers. So that's good news. But you know what it's like to be a talking point, don't you? When you walk up the streets and people, you know that they're talking about you as soon as you pass them. It's a horrible place to be. And I'm sure others of us have experienced it in other places. In the workplace, in our families. Oh, there's nothing like families, is there? For this sort of thing rumbling on for years. Maybe, sadly, we've even experienced it within churches, where we've tried to stand for the truth, and then someone has decided to destroy our reputation by falsely accusing us of something. It is a terrible place to be. Well, what do? Well, if you want to pour petrol on the fire, you go and tell everyone that you're being lied about. Because straight away they say, well, you would say that, wouldn't you? And then the person who's telling the lies will just raise the game, and they go up to the next level, and they'll come up with another load of fantasy facts about you. Instead, you need to do several things. Firstly, you do exactly what the psalmist here does, and you call out to the Lord in your distress. You ask the one who is good and truthful, your Lord and Master, to save you from the lies and the consequences of those lies. And this is a prayer that the Lord does answer sometimes. Sometimes he moves and he'll just lift you out of that situation completely and in an unexpected way, so that it just becomes irrelevant. But sometimes he answers that prayer by giving you the strength to keep on going. And that's more often his usual answer to that prayer. Strength, grace to cope with the situation that you're in. And that's what we need to be doing when someone is slandering us. We need to keep on going. We have to play the long game and prove the lies wrong by living a holy and good life. Because while you may be the talk of the moment, in a few weeks, a few months, someone else will be the talk of the moment, because people love to gossip and they love things to be fresh. And eventually people move on and the focus of attention shifts elsewhere. If you can keep on living a good and holy life, eventually everyone will see that the things being said about you were false. But during those times when you're playing the long game, one thing that you can do that will refresh you and encourage you is what the psalmist is doing here. Surrounding yourself with the Lord's people to worship and give thanks to God for his goodness. And these should be special and precious moments for you when you're able to leave your problems behind you. And you rejoice to be in that place where your heart is at home. And then thirdly, facing this situation, we have to trust God and we have to forgive those who are attacking us. And that's hard. That's very difficult to do. But we need to leave the judgment of the matter to the one who sees all things clearly. And in many ways, this is the most important thing that we have to do. Because when we hold on to resentment and we seethe because of the way that we have been wrongly treated, the only person it really hurts is us. The other person isn't bothered at all. They just get on with their lives unless the Lord brings them to repentance. If we don't forgive, then we seethe and we turn rotten on the inside. And it can really, really detrimentally affect us. As Christians, we are people who are called to forgive. And we're called to leave the matter in the Lord's hands. Because as we see quite clearly in verses 3 and 4 of this psalm, this is a matter that God takes very seriously. The lies that someone throws at you, they're like burning arrows. So it's only fair that God repays the favor. God seriously frowns upon people who attack and slander other folk. And he has a special spot for those who trust him. In fact, Jesus says on the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." For God's people who are the subject of lies, because they are Christians, they will receive a special blessing. while those who attack God's people will be held to account. And we have to remember that God knows the truth from every lie. His eye sees straight through any deception or complicated argument or self-justification that the person may use to try and protect themselves. His eye sees straight to the heart of the matter. Nothing in all creation is hidden before the one to whom we must all give an account. And every unrepented sin we have to give an account for. He is the one who judges, and therefore it is right that as Christians we leave the judging to him and focus on forgiving and leading holy, good lives. But we all know this is easy to say, and it's easy to listen to. The reality is it can be hard work, which is why behind the call of distress we see in this psalm, we see that moment of relief and almost joy as the psalmist escapes from his situation, even if it's only for a while. His heart is filled with happiness as he starts on down that long pilgrim road to Jerusalem. And how his heart must have been filled with joy, because we discover that his problems were not limited to people just slandering him. He describes those he lives among as Meshach and Kedar. Now, it's physically impossible for him to live in both places because one of them is in the far north and the other one's right down in the south. So they're different places, but they share some characteristics. Both of these areas are outside of the promised land, so they're populated by Gentiles. And both of these are areas where people were known for their warlike, violent tendencies. So this person is living amongst violent Gentiles who are in so many ways the absolute opposite of the faithful Jew who is singing this psalm. He is a man of peace. And men of peace have always been considered weak in this world. They're thought timid. They're thought they're soft. They're thought that they're cowards. And as a result, they're never listened to. And often, they're bullied or exploited in one way or another. I'm sure that many Christians today find themselves in this kind of situation because our culture, our society, like so many others around the world, is becoming increasingly violent. Today, various forms of fighting are seen as positive. Think of how martial arts has become now an expression of fitness and well-being rather than what it really is, training to hurt other people. While our top forms of entertainment are watching violent films or immersing ourselves in violent computer games. And as a result, our society is progressively getting worse and worse. The Christian who is a man of peace in this society is going to be weak, considered weak and marginalized. And people may say, oh, their Christianity is about you being weak, needing help, needing a crutch to get you through life. As Christians, we should not be surprised when people throw this lie against us and when we're misrepresented, especially in the media, but also by individuals, by groups, by all sorts of people. Because our Lord told us in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12 that everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. When we put our faith in Christ, we are changed. Our outlook, our view of the world, our opinions and desires are suddenly controlled by the Holy Spirit. So we become different to the people of this world. And we start to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we become more like him, so we start picking up the flack that our Savior picked. Jesus said to his disciples in John 17, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them. For they are not of this world any more than I am of the world. And in John 15 he said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. When people lie about us, ignore us and think that we're weak because we're people of peace, then remember they are treating us in exactly the same way as our Lord was treated. Because if anyone can sing this psalm wholeheartedly, it is our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You see, we all know, don't we, that we are sinners saved by grace. which means that at some point in our lives, we were part of the problem. We were one with these people who are men of violence, liars and slanderers. But we have been shown mercy and grace. We've been forgiven and saved from that. But our Saviour, he was perfect in every way. And he came down from heaven to live in this dark world and to rescue his people from it. And as we look at this psalm, we can just have that picture, that image of Jesus going down to Jerusalem for the last time as a pilgrim. But for him, Jerusalem wasn't a place of safety. He was not escaping that difficult situation at home. Instead, he was walking into the place where he would be surrounded by lies. And then violent men would seize him and pin him to a cross. All because he told the truth. And all because he only ever did good for people. This is a psalm that our Lord can wholeheartedly sing. And it also means that when we find ourselves in the same position as the psalmist, we can turn to our Lord and Saviour for encouragement. He has been lied about far more than we have. They accused him of being a king who was trying to organise a political revolution against the authorities. And that lie had no evidence. In fact, it was so shallow that even Pilate could see through it. But still they executed him for telling the truth. All because the situation was inflamed and pushed on by violent men who felt that their position of leadership was being threatened. They felt that they were being undermined. They were being embarrassed and showed up by our Saviour. So they made sure that the Lord Jesus Christ was silenced. Our Saviour has been there. He knows all about being a victim of lies and slander. He has felt the nails in his flesh put there by violent men. He has been there. And when it comes to vindication, to justice, we know that all authority has been given to him. Jesus is on the throne and everyone will be treated fairly by him. When people stand before him, every lie and every hurt done to another will be uncovered, evaluated and punished. So if the people are guilty of that, they need to repent of their sins and turn to Jesus. Because every single sin is punished. The punishment is either carried by our Lord and Saviour on his shoulders on the cross, or if people don't repent, they're responsible for it themselves. Justice will be done by the one who sees all things. So when we find ourselves being hurt, we need to forgive and we need to put our trust in him, because we can be certain that it will be sorted out either by the person repenting and the punishment going on Christ, or the person being held responsible for their deeds. So when we find ourselves wrestling with these difficult periods of life, which will come to most of us at one point or another, we need to draw encouragement from this psalm and remember that we get great joy and relief in escaping from the trials of this world, even if it's just for an hour or so, when we leave our homes and head to church, when we leave the workplace and have that weekend off. When this happens, our hearts should leap for joy, like a child leaving the school gates at the start of the holidays. The employee leaving work in preparation for our holiday. As we gather together as God's people, this place should be a sanctuary from the battles we face in the world. It should be a time of support, help and refreshment. A place where we can escape from the violence and lies of this world. A place where we can gather together in praise and thankfulness for the one who was lied about and endured unimaginable violence, so that we could have a place of rest with him. A place where we really are able to place our hearts. A place that we can call home. Amen.